This is HPR episode 2184 entitled GNU Orc, Part 5, and is part of the series Learning Orc. It is hosted by BeEasy and is about 40 minutes long. The summary is, in this episode, I describe how to use regular expressions with Orc.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Good morning, Hacker Public Radio fans, or good evening, or good night, whatever the case may be for you. This is BeEasy signing in once again, bringing you another episode of the GNU Orc series. This is episode 5, where we will be discussing, I guess it's just really me, I will be discussing regex in the GNU Orc programming system. So, if you have any experience with regular expressions, you can listen lightly and not pay that much attention, because it is actually not that different to do regular expressions in GNU Orc than it is in to do in Perl or in Sed or other languages, Python, even C Sharp. But if you are new to regular expressions, don't be afraid. This can be a little intro to you for you to this really powerful tool for being able to manipulate text. I actually spend a lot of time searching and indexing text in my day job, and so it is really interesting to me how to use these tools, and I end up using it a lot of times to do other things and just for home. So I'm not going to go into all the details of regular expressions because it is a really big topic, but I am going to go into a good amount of detail and bringing it to you all for the explicit purpose of the awk tool. So some things may be different in other languages, but for the most part, you'll be able to follow this in other places and see it the same. So, to start off with, why would you want to use a regular expression? Well, a regular expression is a way to find a match of to a string of text without it having to be the exact match of text. So if you want to do something simple, like just replace one word or one letter or one group of letters with another group of letters, then you don't need to use regular expressions. You can just say, replace this with that. But if your patterns are more tricky and you want to be able to match multiple things, then regular expressions are a good thing that you want to match. And in this example, we're going to be using our file1.txt that we have been using all throughout the regex series. The awk series. But it really, these are just examples. They're simplified examples. Sometimes if you see some of these, you'd say, well, why wouldn't I just use regular substitution instead or regular matching instead? And you're probably right. For simple cases, regular substitution is okay. But for what we're doing right now, it's important to see that, you know, these are just examples, and it can get really complicated if you want to. So the syntax for regular expressions in awk comes in two places. One is in, well, it can come in more, but the two places I'm going to focus on right now are matching the rows that you want to present in the rest of your equation, so the filter, and then also in some awk commands or some awk functions that you can use for substitution or matching. So for doing that filtering, the syntax is the word or the column that you're looking for in your data with the tilde sign, which on a US keyboard is the character that is above the tab, but you have to press shift to get to it. So that character, which is similar to what it is in Perl. So if you know Perl, if you want to match something, you'll say tilde equals. Well, in awk, you just use tilde. And then after the tilde, you put in on both sides forward slash, which is the key next to the right shift on an American keyboard. And then that's how you match it. So if you're doing a regular filter, you'd say word equals equals, and then in parentheses the thing. Here you're going to say word tilde and inside of forward slashes your regular expression. To do a negation, it's similar to what you would do with a regular filter. Instead of doing exclamation point equals, you're doing exclamation point tilde. So for not matching this regular expression, it would be word exclamation point tilde forward slash the regular expression forward slash again, and then space, and then print whatever, you know, the rest of the way that we do inside of curly brackets. So from our file1.txt file, if we did something that said, for example, $1 tilde inside of right forward slashes p, and then inside of brackets ELU, and then the second forward slash, print $0, we would get a filter list of all the items that have a P and then any one of the letters E, L, or U. And in our example data, we have apple, grape, plum, and pineapple, which have a P followed by either an E, an L, or a U. And so that was an example. We're going to go into some of the details about how that example works. Another quick example is $2 tilde, and inside of forward slashes, E, inside of curly braces, 2, and then the second forward slash, print $0. We're going to do a similar thing, but now we're going to be looking in column 2 for anything that has two E's next to each other. Print the whole line. And we only have one example in that in this file because the color green has two E's. So what does all that mean? What are those squiggly braces and numbers and kind of random letters mean? So you'll notice that if you ever look at regular expressions, like a really complex one, you'll just see a whole bunch. It might look like a character every now and then that you recognize with a whole bunch of special characters all over the place. And if you are unfamiliar with regular expressions, it looks like gobbledygook. But there is actually a lot of meaning in that. So to start with, let's go over some of these characters. There's this term called an anchor. An anchor is like either a starting off point or an ending point of your regular expression. So if you do the caret or the top hat or whatever you want to call that little mark, which is shift 6 on an American keyboard, that symbol means the beginning of a line. So if you wanted to find in your search the beginning of the line P, so only the things that with the first letter on the line is a P, you use caret P. The inverse would be $. And so $ means the end of the line. So if you're looking at P dollar sign, you're looking for the last letter on a line to match P. And so you can have a whole bunch of other characters before that in your match, but if you're starting with the dollar sign, if you're ending with the dollar sign, that means that's the end of the line. And so if you have a P in the middle of the line, it won't be matching that. It'll only be matching if you have a P at the end of the line. The next, so sometimes you have the first letter you might want to match is the beginning of a string. So skipping the white space, the first letter of the string, and that is backslash capital A. All right, so backslash capital A, P would say, if the first letter in the string that I'm looking for is a P, then you have a good match. The inverse of that would be slash lowercase z, or so backslash lowercase z would be if the last letter, so if I did P backslash lowercase z, that would mean that the last letter of the string is the P. Another important anchor is the lowercase b, so the backslash lowercase b. You'll see a lot of times that you'll have a backslash and a regular character that annotates what some of these either anchors or other special characters mean. And that's because there's only a finite amount of special characters on a keyboard or in Unicode that are, or I guess really only on the keyboard. You can put them in Unicode if you wanted to, but no one would be able to access them. So what they do instead is start using regular letters with a backslash in front of it to give it a new meaning. Backslash B is a word boundary. I use this one all the time. So if I want to just find the end of the word in my match, then I would do backslash B. Backslash B and backslash Z are different in that the end of a string would include like a period or some other character like that, or comma, but backslash B would not. I'm pretty sure that's right. We'll just pretend that that's right if I'm not right. And please feel free to correct me because I'm doing this kind of off the top of my head if that's not right. So those are the main anchors. There are others, and I'm going to point you all to some resources at the end, which goes into a lot more detail because who can remember all these things the first time they ever do it or even the 900th time they have used regular expressions. So even now I still use some of these resources just so I can either check my regular expressions or to find something that I don't have or I'm missing. So there are some other characters. So if I want to match characters, there's some cool ways to do it. So obviously if I just put in the character by itself, I'm matching that one character. Or if I put a series of characters together like ABC, then only when I find the term ABC will I find a match. But if I put inside of square braces, so let's instead of saying ABC, ABCD, if I put inside of square braces A and D, that means if the character that I'm looking for is either an A or a D. So inside of square braces, any of the characters that you put in there without any other markings, you're looking for any one of those characters. So as we saw in our example above, where we did, when we're looking for P and inside of square brackets, E, L, U, it doesn't matter what order E, L, and U go in. I just like to use alphabetical order because it makes it easier. But it doesn't matter what the order is. You're going to be matching a P with either an E or an L or a U. If I didn't have the square braces, I'd have to match exactly P, E, L, U. So what if I'm instead of, so in our example down here in my show notes, square brackets A, D, if I didn't want to match just the characters A, D, but I want to match A, B, C, D, I can either just type A, B, C, D inside of the square brackets, or I can use the dash or the hyphen, whatever you want to call it, between A and D. So A dash D, kind of like how it looks, means A to D or A through D. So that would match A, B, C, D. So a lot of times what you'll see is A dash Z, which is any letter A through Z. On the other hand, if you had A capital A dash capital Z, you'd be matching uppercase letters. So I'm not going to go into the case too much. I'm going to save that for maybe Dave can cover that. But in general, regular expressions are case sensitive, as they you would expect they would be, because there's so many variations of strings that if it was case insensitive, one, it wouldn't be very precise, and two, it would take up more resources. But anyway, going back to where I was, so inside of square brackets, once again, sometimes you don't want to match something. Sometimes you want to not match something. And so if I put, after the opening square bracket, if I put a caret, that means not in this context. Why do they not stay consistent and use a exclamation point here? I don't know. But that's what they do. So it would be consistent to say exclamation point. But instead we say caret. So if I say open bracket, caret, A to A dash D, close bracket, that means not the characters A to D. So I don't want to match, I want to find any words that, or any character that is not one of those four. So there's some other characters that we can match, or so backslash W is any word, so anything that's not a white space character. Backslash S is any white space character, so that includes the tab character, the space. I don't think it includes new line. No. But any white space character. Backslash D is any digit. So you could do inside a square bracket 0-9, but a shorter way to do it is just backslash D. And that matches any digit. Backslash W, S, and D, if you do the capital version of it, it's a negation. So if I want to match any non-white space character, I'd do backslash capital S. If I want to match any non-digit, then I do backslash capital D. If I want to match any non-word character, then I do backslash capital W. And those kind of make sense. There are some other boundaries and some other special characters. I will, like I said, refer you to the references if you want to get more detail, but you know, I only have so much time. So let's go to the next thing, which is there is a standard, I think it's been talked about on HBR before. There's a standard way of building software. The standard is called POSIX. And there is a POSIX compliant or a POSIX standard way of referencing a lot of those characters that either grep or PCR grep or set or awk might use a different way of doing it. Most of them also accept the POSIX standard way of doing it. So I have them here in the show notes. We have alnum to match any alphanumeric character. It's similar to slash capital S, kind of, so any non-white space. So we can do all these have like a square bracket on both sides, and inside the square brackets, either open and close, there is a colon. So it goes square bracket, colon, whatever the phrase is or whatever the word is, colon, close square bracket. So alnum is alphanumeric. Alpha, like it sounds, is alphabetic. Blank is tab and space, so square bracket, colon, blank, colon, close square bracket. That matches any of the white space characters, like space and tab. Colon, T-N-T-R-L, colon, square bracket, is any control character. digit is another one that's just like the backslash D. Graph is another one, which are for both printable and non-print, all characters that are both printable and visible. So a space is printable but not visible, whereas an A is both printable and visible. So it's kind of like slash W. Slash lower, so matching any lowercase character. So we have print, which is just principal characters. Doesn't matter if it's visible or not. Punct, which is any punctuation characters, which is a great one to be able to say not punctuation, if you want to match punctuation to nothing to get rid of punctuation, that's a great one to use. Because a lot of times you just want to get the dot out of there. Space is another one to get rid of space, tab, form feed, and some others. You can go into the POSIX standards to look up all these things to get more detail. Upper, like it sounds like it's any uppercase character, and X digit to match characters that are a part of the hexadecimal system. So what are those 16 characters? What is that? 0 through 9, and then A, B, C, D, E, F? Yes. So now that we can say, okay, I'm matching one of these characters, how can I say matching multiple of these characters? So that's where quantifiers come in. So if I want to match just one D, I just put D. But if I want to say match D one or more times, I will use the plus character. So matching D plus would say, would match a D, a DD, a D to like 25 Ds. Using the asterisk matches zero or more times. So it doesn't have to find it, but if it does find it, so asterisk is basically wildcard or anything. The next character is the question mark. Question mark means zero or one time. So if I'm looking to see, a lot of times I'll use this one, not necessarily in awk, but in other cases, if I'm looking for matching tags in HTML, I'll do like the start of the tag, like, and then put a slash, like a forward slash with a question mark next to it, and then div, and then close the tag, and that way it'll find the beginning div, and it'll also find the slash div at the end. So that's a good one to know. Inside of curly brackets, any number means match this thing that many times. So if I say, so if I don't want to say match D one or more times, but I want to match it only twice, like we saw in the example above, when we matched E exactly two times, we put E curly bracket to other curly bracket. If we want to match it two or more times instead of one or more times, so maybe one time we don't want to find, but if it's two or more, we want to find the match to that letter, we would put inside of curly brackets N, comma, then nothing, and then curly bracket. If I want to say between two and six times, it would be inside the curly brackets two, comma, six. So two, comma, nothing is two or more. Two, comma, six would be two to six. If I said comma, if I open the curly brackets and said nothing, comma, six, that would be zero to six times. I know it's a lot, but we're getting through it. Like I said at the beginning, regular expressions is a lot of information, but even if you just get the basics down, it's really helpful in a lot of things. And as you get the basics down and you do that and you start to have use cases for this, you'll find reasons to do more and more. And some of the resources I'm going to point you to not only will help you build regular expressions, but will also test them and also show you how to use show them how they work. So kind of like a explain inside of there. It'll explain what your regular expression that you just wrote means. So you can put a group of items together in a match, and to do that, you need to use round braces, which is parentheses. So if I put in the word foo inside of parentheses, that means I want to match the entire word foo. But if I put a pipe and then put bar after the pipe, so inside of parentheses, I put foo, pipe, bar, that means foo or bar. So I'm going to be matching in this entire text. Every time I see foo or bar, I'm going to be able to match that. Some other things that, and in other places now, I don't think awk can really do it, but a lot of times what you'll do in like sed or PCRE grep, which is a extension of grep, like a Perl extension of grep, what you'll do is you'll say, I'll want to match foo, instead of matching foo or bar, you'll put foo in parentheses, and then you'll put bar in parentheses. And so if I want, and then if you wanted to, so say I wanted, to, if I had, every time I found foo bar next to each other, I wanted to say bar foo instead, you would be able to say matching foo, matching bar, and then in the substitution, put bar first and put foo later. We'll get to that later on if we have to. I think we might have already done it and said, but basically you're gonna use the references to what's inside of those parentheses by number and say, well, that one's the first one, that one's the second one, that one's the third one, and be able to switch them all around or exclude some of them, and that way you can do cool things with. That's where a lot of this stuff really gets cool, is when you're either not just for matching, but when you're replacing. And that leads us right into the next topic, which is replacement in awk. So sometimes you'll have a document, and every time you see one thing, you want to replace it with another, or you want to add text to it to either denote that it's special or whatever your use case might be. There's a lot of reasons why you might want to replace something in text. The functions for that in awk are sub, gsub, and gensub. And I'm not really going to go into gensub. You can read about it, but sub and gsub are pretty commonly used. Sub is just substituting the first match that you find with whatever the replacement string is. Gsub is replacing every match that you find in a string. So when I say, so it's kind of different in awk than it is in sed, where your string might be really, really big in sed, because it might be like an entire document. But in awk, we're really only talking about in this column that I'm looking at right now. So if only in column 3, for some made-up data, there were 3 matches to your regular expression, sub would only replace the first time it found that match. Gsub would replace all 3 times. And so another special character that we'll run into in replacement is the ampersand. So the ampersand, which is the shift 7, means the matching text. So that's similar to other languages. Like, I know it's the same in Vim. If you're doing a Vim replacement, you can use that as well. But the idea is, if I wanted to say I'm looking for this text and I want to, I don't want to just replace the text, but I want to augment the text. I want to say put something before the text. I'll put whatever I want to put before the text, and then ampersand, and then it'll instead of substituting. That's the other way you do it. Say you have the word foobar and want to replace foobar with bazbar. You would match foo, and then b whatever. And then instead of having to say in your substitution foo again, you can just say ampersand and then AZ, and then it'll do what it needs to do. Hope that makes sense. I hope I'm explaining that adequately. But we'll have an example in a second to see how that works. All right, so the replacement, here's one example. So in our file1.txt file, if I did, the syntax. So inside of the curly braces, so if I've already done a filter, inside of the curly braces, I'm going to do sub and then open parenthesis. So everything that we're substituting is going to happen inside of parentheses. Similar to how a lot of programming languages do functions, where right after the function name, you have an opening parenthesis, and then you will have some arguments that are separated by commas. And that's what we have here. So for sub and g sub, it is sub, and then the first argument is the regular expression, the second argument is the replacement, and the third argument is what you want to replace. And there's an optional fourth argument, I think. Let me see. Yeah, I think there's a optional fourth argument, which is starting from where. That's common in a lot of languages. So let's see. I'm in the official documentation. No, it's just the target. So sub, so it's a regular expression, replacement, and then the target. And you can have multiple targets, but that's what it is. And if you didn't put a target, so if you, like right now in my example, I'm going to put a target, but if you don't put a target, it'll do it everywhere in your entire file, in all the rows, in all the columns. So I have, in my example, sub, and inside of right slashes, apple. So every time I find apple, replace it with nut inside of double quotes, comma, $1. So I'm going to only do this every time in column one do I see the word apple, replace it with nut. And then I put after the closed parenthesis, colon, print $1, which means print column one. So I'm looking in column one and I'm printing column one. You could do a substitution on column one and print column three, but that would be kind of a waste of time because you're never going to see column three. But you could also do a print on column zero, which is all columns, and that would, so you'd see everything, but you'd only make the changes in column one. So once again, if I didn't have that $1 inside of my substitution as the last argument, it would look everywhere in the file and replace apple with nut. And so the output of that is going to be, after name, you're going to have nut, and then you're going to have another nut later on, and then the last one, you're going to have pine nut, because it replaced pineapple with pine nut. So that's, once again, like I said at the beginning, you know, that's a time where we didn't have to use a regular expression, but we did. It's not really a regular expression, but, you know, we could have done a simpler way to match. Now, this next example is not, that's not the case. So here in this example, I do inside of curly braces, sub inside of parentheses, and then inside of the four slashes, I have dot, which I think I covered. Did I cover dot? I didn't cover dot. Let me add it right now. So dot is matching any character. Let me add that to my notes here too while I'm here. Match any character. Oh yeah, see? Match any character with a dot, then plus. So any character one or more times, and then inside of parentheses, PP pipe RR, close parenthesis. So I'm looking for any character one or more times, followed by either two P's or two R's, and then close that forward slash. So that's the regular expression is always inside of the forward slashes. So after the regular expression is over, comma, inside of double quotes, Oh, that's my phone. That's funny. Inside of double quotes, test dash ampersand. Then close the double quote, comma, dollar sign one, and then close the parenthesis again, semicolon, print, dollar sign one. So you can tell right now, going from the back, from the end up, we're going to only be printing column one. And we're doing, and our target is also column one. We're going to be doing a substitution of any characters that come before, then either a PP or an RR. So that's our matching case. We're going to write test, the word T-E-S-T, dash, the thing that was matched, which was that word. So in our example here, with file1.txt, if we run this on file1.txt, we'll get test-apple, because apple has PP in it. That sounded funny. Moving right along. Then there's banana without a test in front of it, but then there's test-strawberry, because strawberry has RR in it. And then grape, and then test-apple again, and then plum, kiwi, potato, and then test-pineapple, because once again, pineapple has two P's in it. So as you can see, the ampersand here is being turned into the matching text. Now, say I wanted to just put test-ampersand. Well, I have to use an escape character, which is the backslash. So instead of this saying in that second part, that second argument, test-ampersand, it would say test-backslash-ampersand. And that tells awk, or a lot of regular expression readers, that the character that is usually a special character right here, just make the character here instead. So that works with all of those special characters that we use, that are used as anchors or special digits or anything. So if I just wanted to put a period, I'd put a backslash period. All right. So that is all I'm going to go in. We're already here over a half hour, and I don't want this to go any longer because, you know, people have other things to do with their lives, right? You guys can't be listening to my voice all day. So what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to let Dave take it from here and give you some more details. And also, I'm going to point you to some resources that I use all the time when I'm working with regular expressions. And so, and these are generic ones. There's also some other places where if you want specific regular expression details for either Vim or Perl or Python or Java or C#, some of these have slight variations, so you might have to go to their specific documentation for it, but the resources I use all the time, number one is regex101.com. Is it .com? It is, yeah, regex101.com. It's a way to test your regular expressions. It also does a description of what your regular expression says. So if you have some example text that you can copy and paste it into the text part, and then you can copy and paste your regex into the top part, or just write it in there. And you can do your variables like global. So instead of doing G sub, it'll just be that and put a G in the at the end in the last field. And then it'll explain to you what it's being matched and how it's being matched. And it's a really great resource. But it's kind of a lot. Like, it has a lot of buttons and a lot of different ways you can look at it. If you want something simpler, there is regexer, which is regexer.com. It's very similar to regexer.com, but it's regex101, but it's more simple. Another good resource is I don't even know how to pronounce this, but I think it's Grimoire or Grimoire.com. So www.grimoire.com, which is grymoire.com/unix/awk.html. But if you want to just go back a level and just go up to the Unix, he has a lot of cool stuff. So a lot, his sed and awk tutorials are like standard. They're referenced all the time for how to understand these things. The next one I want to point you to is the official GNU Awk user guide, which is at https://www.gnu.org/software/gawk/manual/html/node/regexp.html. You'll see it in the show notes. But yeah, the official GNU awk. A lot of both my notes and I'm pretty sure Dave's notes have come directly from here, or at least the topics have come directly from here. This is a great place to find it. I've also run into a cool article on TechMint about using awk, so you can also check that out. They don't go into too many details on regular expressions, but it's also a good resource. But that's just about it for me on this episode of Hacker Public Radio. Stay tuned for more. Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.